Have you ever compared the different scriptures that speak of how Jesus would return? Well, if you put them all side by side, it could be kind of a confusing topic. No wonder people have a lot of ideas about how Jesus is going to return. It says he's going to return invisibly, and yet at the same time, in flaming fire, with his angels, and in his kingdom. It says he's going to return in clouds. It says he's going to return with God. It also says that he's going to return as a thief, and yet with a shout, and as the lightning, and he's going to knock on the door. That doesn't sound like any thief I know. He's going to return with the trump of God, which is the trumpet of God, and at the same time he'll have a sword in his mouth. He's also going to return with the voice of an archangel. Can all of these be true? Well, the Bible does indicate all of these are true. We'll examine the scriptures that make these statements. As we do so, the further question is, are all of these referring to the same coming of Christ, or are they each referring to different comings of Christ? Well, many people speak of a second coming of Christ. The Bible phrase that we want to look for is in Hebrews 9:28, and what it says is, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Now, this is the only verse that speaks of Christ appearing a second time. All other references to the coming of Christ either have to conform to this second time, or else be someone's personal invention of a third time, fourth time, or fifth time, so forth. So, as the hub of our examination of these questions about how is Jesus going to return, let's use the account in Acts. It addresses Jesus leaving and return. Acts 1, verses 9 through 12. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said also, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey." So, pretty clear about how Jesus left the apostles. He went into heaven in a cloud and out of their sight. There are a lot of disagreements, though, about how he's going to return. The two men, which were angels, rebuked the apostles for gazing up into heaven. They said Jesus would come in like manner as ye have seen him go. Now, some people have taken this phrase like manner and said it means exactly the same manner, saying that Jesus is going to return on a cloud. Well, if like manner meant exactly the same manner, then how Christ appears the second time should be really clear. It means he would return by descending out of a cloud to the same apostles that saw him go into heaven. They would have to be standing on the Mount of Olives. Now, one big problem with that understanding is the fact that the apostles are no longer around in physical bodies for Jesus to return to, or for him to appear to physically. Another problem with that approach is that all the other records of how Jesus is going to return are different from that. A sword in his mouth, flaming fire, with a shout, as a thief, invisibly, with God, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and with his angels. The exact same manner wouldn't allow the addition of all of these different things, and for sure it wouldn't be invisible. Also, if like manner meant exactly the same manner, shouldn't the angels really have encouraged the apostles to keep looking instead of rebuking them for looking up into heaven? Seems like it. However, if like manner was used the same way that Jesus often used it in his parables, then the event that the apostles witnessed, well, it was kind of a parable too. It was a picture of a spirit realm coming of Christ. To understand a parable, Jesus would define a visible picture by the spirit realm things that it meant. For instance, he said, "The parable is this, the seed is the word of God." The seed was a physical picture of God's word, which was a spiritual thing that Jesus wanted them to understand. So to understand Acts 1, 9 through 12 as a parable, we would need to define the visible pictures by some keys that are in the Bible. If we do that, we can then understand how Jesus will return. First of all, he was taken up into heaven. Heaven represents God's way of thinking, as we read in Isaiah 55, verse 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Jesus also said in John 3:13, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now think about it. Jesus and Nicodemus were physically in the same place. But spiritually, Jesus said, I'm in heaven and you're not. Jesus was thinking like God thought. Nicodemus wasn't thinking that way yet. Paul said in Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 6, God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now the Ephesians weren't physically moved up into the atmosphere, but spiritually they had been elevated into God's way of thinking, up into heaven, which means God's way of thinking. And this is how Christ ascended naturally with the apostles watching, but it was because this is how he had ascended in his mind, up into a deeper way of thinking, and that's how he will return, in a heaven depth in our minds. The second thing, Jesus left in a cloud. Notice that little word in? It says in a cloud, not on a cloud. Have you ever seen a plane disappear into a cloud? You don't see it any longer. You can't see something when it is in a cloud. Hebrews 12:1 and Jude 12 give us spirit realm definitions or keys for a cloud when they're used symbolically. Both of those verses say that clouds represent individuals or entities. 2 Peter chapter 2 says these false teachers are clouds that are carried with a tempest. They speak great spelling words of vanity. Now natural clouds don't talk. People do. Jesus returns in a person's mind or a cloud when he said, Revelation 3:20, if a man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. Christ is also called a day star in 2 Peter 1:19. The day star arises in your hearts. So when Christ is in a person's mind, he's invisible. Christ can be in one person, a cloud, or he could be in many people, clouds, when God sends the Spirit of his Son to them. Now the third thing is that the cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus left out of their sight. In other words, they couldn't see him. In the spirit realm, to see means to understand. As Paul said in Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The devil had blinded the minds of unbelievers from seeing the light or truth of Christ, if we read in 2 Corinthians 4:4. You can't physically see Christ in another person, and you also won't understand that he is there spiritually until the eyes of your understanding are enlightened. Christ has to be revealed in someone in order for you to see him there. Matthew 16:13-17 shows an account of how Jesus got the witness that the Christ depth of spirit was in the man that they called Christ. After that happens, then Christ can be formed in you, as it tells us in Galatians 4:19. Now Jesus returns invisibly in the minds of people who have God's ways of thinking instead of man's ways of thinking, and that integrates all three ideas. His return in heaven, in clouds or entities, and it's invisible until we understand. So, I'm going to give several scriptures here, and you might want to jot these down. If you'd rather, you could write to us and get a printed list of these scriptures that refer to how Jesus is returning. John 14, verses 18-23 says he will return invisibly. Jesus said in verse 19 of that, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Jesus comes in his kingdom, and his kingdom comes without observation, as we read in Luke 17. The reason is, his kingdom is invisible. It's within you. Matthew 24:30 says Jesus will return in clouds. Clouds, as we saw, represent people in Jude 12. The mystery among the Gentiles was Christ in you. If you're a cloud and Christ is in you, Christ is returning in clouds. Caiaphas was told by Jesus that he would see Christ come in clouds or people in Matthew 26. Titus 2:13 says Jesus is returning with God, looking for that appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." That would be in the person's mind, because they're keeping those words, growing a Christ depth of spirit within their mind. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, he returns with a shout. The shout's a battle cry. The message, fight against evil spirits in your own mind. In other words, fight against the spirits of devils, as they're called in Revelation 16, verses 14 through 16. Paul said it another way. He said, fight the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 and 8 says Christ will return in flaming fire. Fire is the word of God, as we read in Jeremiah 23, 29. God's ministers are a flame of fire, as we read in Hebrews 1, 7. Christ comes to our minds by God's anointing words within another mind. Matthew 16, 27 says Christ will return with his angels. The children of God are equal unto the angels, we read in Luke 20, 36, because they have Christ in them. Paul was received as an angel in Galatians 4, 14. So Christ comes with people who have Christ in their mind, and they're referred to as angels. Jesus also returns in Matthew 16, 28, in his kingdom. Believers were already translated into the kingdom of Christ in Colossians 1, 13, at the time of the early church in the first century. Entrance into the kingdom is ministered by the thoughts that we cultivate, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1. The Apostle John was in the kingdom in Revelation 1:9. So Christ had returned to the believers of the early church in his kingdom. The kingdom was there. Jesus also returns as the lightning in Matthew 24:27. Lightning is a picture of revelations, as we read in Psalm 97:4, his lightnings enlightened the world. As God reveals his way of thinking to us, the eyes of our understanding do get enlightened, as we read in Ephesians 1, verse 18. Jesus also returns with the trump, or trumpet, of God in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The trump of God is his word being spoken with his understanding. In 1 Corinthians 14:8 and 9, it speaks of a trumpet as giving a clear sound, and that's the message we need to give, a clear, understandable sound. Christ comes with understanding in our minds. Jesus also returns with a sword in his mouth, as we read in Revelation 19, 11 through 16. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God in Ephesians 6, 17. The sword teaches us to discern evil and how to cast it out. So Jesus returns to our mind with that message. Jesus also returns with the voice of the archangel in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Now the chief angels, Michael and Gabriel, are archangels, like an arch is the top of a doorway, and they're messengers of God's word. They're mentioned in Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 10, and also Michael is mentioned in Jude verse 9. Christ comes teaching people how to overcome evil and worship God. We read that in Revelation 19:10, and that is what the voice says. So, when are all of these true? Well, Christ did return to the minds of believers in the early church, just like he said he would. John 14:18, he said, "I will come to you." Christ came in the anointed preaching and teaching and healing of the early church ministries. Christ also comes as a thief. Matthew 24, 42 through 51 says that. Now, he doesn't come physically and visibly as people of the world expect. He comes to those who are watching. They're the ones that will see or understand him and open the door of their mind and invite him in. As it says in Mark, "What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch."